Well, this is just one of many games going on today. Binghamton is at Maine, and well, this afternoon, Johnson City at Sus Valley. Seton Catholic Central up at the Valley, taking on Newark Valley. It is Unadilla Valley at Whitney Point today. Dryden is at Moravia. And Oxford at Walton, all of those are day games going on right now. Elmira will be playing down at Ty Cobb Stadium against the Union Endicott coming up this evening. I believe that is 7 o'clock. Very interesting scores last night. Of course, you heard Unity go over Sydney, 32-30. It was Watkins Glen stopping Deposit Hancock, 28-22 last night. We told you the Groton topped Bainbridge Guilford, 36-6. Elmira Notre Dame over Trumansburg, 40-32. Odessa Montour fell victim to Thomas A. Edison. That's in one of the Elmira teams, 33-8. Spencer Van Etten over Cander, 38-20. Green stopped Delhi, 16-14. That had to be just a dandy game. Lansing over Shenango Valley by a score of 22-21. Now think of that. And Shenango Valley got beat the week before by Sydney in a nip-and-tuck back-and-forth ball game. Now 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, that's tough.
Owego over Windsor, 41-14, is same numbers, just in different order. Norwich over Oneonta, 43-6. It was Horseheads over Ithaca, 22-6. And in the ball game that got lots of chatter last night on the field up at Unitego, it was Tioga shutting out Shenango Forks 7-0. Interesting. We'll have more action coming up for you shortly. You're listening to the Halftime Report being brought to you by the Morabito Fuel Group, the area's full-service energy provider. Remember, Morabito's Rewards Plus is a one-of-a-kind customer loyalty program designed to save you money and to give you more for your energy dollar. Call the folks at Morabito Energy Products at 607-563-HEAT. We'll be back with the second half coming up shortly. You're listening to high school football on the Tri-County Heartbeat, WCDO.
Quality Hardwoods in Twin Valley on Route 8 in Bainbridge proudly take part in sponsoring local sports on WCDO and remind fans to get out and cheer on your favorite teams. If you're a woodworker, contractor, or do-it-yourselfer, be sure to stop by Twin Valley, featuring quality hard and soft woods for flooring, stairs, cabinets, molding, and more. Every piece is hand-inspected and stored in a climate-controlled area. Visit Twin Valley's retail store, a division of Quality Hardwoods on Route 8, just a half mile north of the Route 7 and 8 traffic light, and proudly supporting our area's local athletes.
Some auto dealers focus on sales, and others are more focused on service. At Butler Auto Sales in Sydney, you get the complete package. A friendly, knowledgeable, trustworthy sales staff combined with an experienced service department that's second to none. Butler Auto has over 120 vehicles, every make and model, from Hondas, Nissans, and Toyotas to Fords, Chevys, Chryslers, and many more. See the incredible selection at Butler Auto Sales, Service, and Rentals, Route 7, Riverside, Sydney. Butler Auto Sales proudly supports high school sports on WCDO.
We know how hard it is to raise a family these days. With your busy schedule and all those obligations, you need a financial institution that's all about you. We've got you covered. With internet services, convenient ATMs, online bill paying, and so much more. Stop by to find out about the Credit Union Advantage. We're a member-owned financial cooperative. We're all about you. SFCU, federally insured by NCUA. We're all about you.
The Egley family and the Egley Machine Company on Route 7, Riverside in Sydney, proudly support high school sports on WCDO. The future of our area lies in the hands of our youth, and Egley Machine urges students to work hard in school. It's very important to complete your education, as today's job market is very competitive. No matter what field you're going into, prepare yourself for a prosperous and rewarding career. Egley Machine is a proud Tri-Town company that designs and builds injection molds for the plastics industry and components for a variety of other companies. Egley Machine proudly supports the youth in our communities and is happy to be a part of high school sports on WCDO.
Your New York State Excellence in Broadcasting award-winning station. FM 101 at AM 1490 WCDO.
Harry and Anthony back here at Harpersville. We have a couple of minutes left until we finally get action going again here in the third quarter. This was one of those halftime breaks where both teams went off the field and wanted to get a little bit of workup time before they came back for the conclusion of this contest. 28-8 is our score. Harpersville leading right now, leading the Waverly Wolverines by a 28-8 score. And we want to give out a big shout-out to all of the listeners along the line who are joining us on WCDOsports.com as we're on that thing called the World Wide Web, and you can pick up our game anywhere. Last night we had listeners from all across the United States, even somebody serving in the military, and I haven't had the word passed along yet as to the listeners that we have to the game today. Action will be starting up very momentarily. Waverly is in a Division 4, in Section 4. They're in with Dryden, Lansing, Thomas Edison, and Trumansburg. If we come down to Harpersville, they're in Division 6 against Candor, Oxford, Seton Catholic Central, Sydney, and Tioga. So we will be seeing as these teams begin to get their wins and get their losses, we will see who's going to be good and who's going to be, what's the word they use, who's good and who's not?
Bad.
No, we don't use that term. Mm. So as we see the lineups for the second half of this ball game, Peyton Miller has been in there at quarterback for the Wolverines, getting lots of attention in the backfield. It has been Braden Rice, Alex Volpe, Zach Saxon. Along the line, Tim Sutton, John Hallett, Justin Dudesh. It is Jeff Klausner at center, Brandon Ellers, and Jordan Huck, along with a receiver by the name of McFarland, Ryan, 6'4", 170 pounds, senior, big target. So Harpersville will be kicking off as we get things going here in period number three. The ball is going to be momentarily bobbled in there. Alex Volpe had it go off his left shoulder and go over his back, and a teammate had to come in and settle on it. So it will be Waverly ball starting, let's see, at about the 28-yard line is where they finally put things down.
And the total time of possession has been dominated by Harpersville. Waverly looking to get some offense going in this one.
So it will be the same offensive unit for each of these teams. Ball going to be put in the air. Peyton Miller throws to the far side. It will not reach its intended target, and we will start all over again. Of course, he is going down in there consistently for Dylan Perry.
That pass may have been incomplete, but it was a great pickup of the blitz by freshman Braden Rice, number two in the backfield, stopping the blitzer on a dime.
The Waverly Wolverines ended up stopping Cortland in a game up at the Carrier Dome last week. 29-20 was the final on that one. Oh, this one is beautiful. Peyton Miller going to the air. He has number two. I thought that was number 88 was the receiver.
It was. It doesn't appear to be on our...
But I don't see an 88 on my chart, but I know that was number 88. Regardless, mystery man, somebody suited up at halftime, and we get back in the shotgun now. The snap will go to Miller, and he will go to Braden Rice on the handoff immediately. Just so that I am not, just double check on me. Just look around and see if you see an 88 on the far bench to see if we had another one in there, or if I just read that wrong. It could very well have been 85, Tim Sutton. He is a wide receiver.
88 is looking to line up.
Yep, he is.
On the field.
Yep,
so.
He is still in there. So we do have an uncorrected number. I guess that's the polite way of saying it. I could come in and just say anybody. See if there's an 85 anywhere.
Something tells me that might be Sutton.
The long par, the long arm of Peyton Miller throwing the ball. I have not seen, and that's what I'm looking for right now, is to see if we have an 85 across the way, because there have been a number of changes, and we were told that Tim Sutton would be the starting tight end. But as I look at the bench across the way, that may have been a uniform change. Sometimes they come in at halftime and somebody has a ripped jersey or whatever. I don't recall seeing 88 in the first half, but it won't be the strangest thing that ever happened. We're going to be having a penalty marched off against the Harpersville Hornets. And with that, it will be first down for the Wolverines. So the ball goes across midfield, across the 45, down to the 41. 10:51 showing on the clock. The ball snapped back to Peyton Miller. Miller has it bobbled momentarily, has to reach down and pick it up off the ground. He still has time and the presence of mind to get out a little floater to Braden Rice. And Rice will not get back to the line of scrimmage, but he prevents what could have been a considerable loss had Peyton Miller been sacked in the backfield. Second, and we'll call it 14. The ball now across the 45 to about the 46. Once again, in the shotgun, and the ball is going to be put in the air, going off on the near side this time to Ryan McFarland. And play will resume, let's see, at about the 38-yard line as McFarland manages to get a gain on that play, short yardage. Third, and we'll call it about 7. Miller has this one deflected. I believe that is going to be number 67, Sean Sweet, a Harpersville junior who reaches up and deflects it away, almost intercepted by one of his teammates. That did not happen, so it will bring up a fourth down, still about 7. Ball spotted down at the 37-yard line.
Looks like Waverly planning on going for it on this fourth down, trying to get something going in this game. Their best drive so far.
Again, from the shotgun, and scrambling will be Miller. He goes down there intended for number 25, Alex Volpe. Volpe, a slot back normally. The junior ends up having the ball incomplete. And as a result, it will be the Harpersville Hornets taking over on downs. We are at 9:39, remaining period number 3. Our score remains 28-8, Harpersville leading the Waverly Wolverines. The Wolverines decked out in their white jerseys with red numerals. Well, going to be kept on the ground as it will be Devin Dean carrying, getting no great yardage at all. He gets to the 40-yard line. We'll call that a pickup of a couple. So here we go again. Dylan Smith. Tight end this time. They didn't split him out at all. They will hand the ball off from Devin Dean to Stephen Lee. Lee will get to the 45-yard line. When they unpack everybody and put down the ball, it'll be about the 45 and a half yard line. So he still has a good long yard to go for the first down. Well, we will have games for you next Friday evening and Saturday. The Friday evening game has already been settled. That will be Sydney at Oxford. Still a couple of options coming up on Saturday afternoon. Devin Dean's going to carry it. He'll have the first down, but loses the football. So it will be recovered by the Waverly Wolverines right about at the first down point.
Waverly picks up the Harpersville fumble.
So Dean came through and picked up about a yard and a half, but the ball ended up being jarred out of his hands, and it went back in the opposite direction a little bit. And as a result, technically, it was just simply turned over, as you read it in the scorebook, just a turnover to the Wolverines. Ball going to be pitched out by Miller, and it is going to go into the hands of Alex Volpe. Volpe going to pick up good yardage as he will have a first down as he finally gets down to inside the 40, down to about the 35-yard line, just inches high of that.
You notice Waverly's bench get very excited after that fumble recovery, looking to get something going. A little more desire in their step as they approach the line.
So it is going to now be a first and 10. Snap going back again to Miller, who will go off to Braden Rice again. Rice goes into a sea of blue jerseys, dents it a little bit, and then is thrown backwards. So they will say that it is going to be no gain whatsoever. Second and 10. The clock still running and down to 7 minutes and 24 seconds. We now have an equipment problem, so as a result, we will be having a man coming off the field. Who is that? One of the Harpersville Hornets had an equipment problem. Ooh, look out. That is going to be complete forward pass going in there from Peyton Miller as he will go down to Tim Sutton. And Sutton gets down inside the 15-yard line. We will call that right at the 15. First and 10. Now a pass in the opposite direction as Peyton Miller definitely getting his arm going. This time he goes to Dylan Perry, but Perry will not be able to get it. He turned around. He had a good look at it, but that pass from Miller just a little bit low. It actually bounced once before it got to Perry.
Miller got whacked in the backfield from pressure from Harpersville.
That will happen frequently in this game. They call it feets ball, but lots of times you might call it shoulder ball. Two and split way out this time. The pass is complete in there to Zach Saxon, and Saxon gets no appreciable yardage as he is down pretty much at the line of scrimmage. It will bring up a third and 10. So sometimes you can complete them and still gain nothing. 6:44 showing on the clock. Peyton Miller scrambling to the near side. He has an open man in number 80, Ryan McFarland. But McFarland tries to turn around before he has possession of the football. The ball goes off his shoulder pads and falls harmlessly to the turf. McFarland would like to have that one again because he just simply let his eagerness to gain yardage get ahead of his control of the football. Harpersville 28, Waverly 8. Third quarter of this ball game from Harpersville today. Perry split out to the far side, but the pass will be off to the near side. It was intended in there for Zach Gingrich. Gingrich, the junior, was going down into the end zone, but the pass by Miller actually went out of the end zone and it will be the Harpersville Hornets taking over again. 6 minutes and 29 seconds on the clock. So Harpersville, with an 18-0 win over Delhi last week, now with a 28-8 lead this week, spirits are revived for the Hornets. Pass intended for Stephen Lee. Lee can't hang on to it. It's going to go as a long strike, as they say. McMillan coming out. Dylan Smith going in with the play. McMillan being talked to by the coaches on the near side as he gets ready for the next play. Ball going to be kept on the ground as that time going up with his big hand motion was Cody Smith. The ball did not come to him, and I do believe that it is going to be Kimmel maybe picking up a yard at most. He will get the ball up to about the 16 or 17 yard line. It'll bring up a third, and we will call it still 9.
Both defenses holding the opposing offense in check here to start the second half.
If you haven't had enough football, the only football that is coming up this evening will be Elmira at Union Endicott, the UGE Tigers, playing a night game at Ty Cobb Stadium. Lee goes to the far corner, can't make the turn. He's going to be pushed out of bounds just about at the line of scrimmage. Now, two men coming in. Dylan Lindsay coming back into the ball game as he trots next to Dylan Smith. The two of them coming in with the play. It is going to be a fourth down and kicking situation, fourth at about 6. And the ball is going to be mishandled in the backfield by Tyler Gates. Finally, he tries to grab it, but it is going to be just batted around. It rolls free. It will finally be touchdown, we will say, at the 30-yard line. So the Waverly Wolverines have an excellent field position to get things going in the final 5 minutes of the third period. 28-8 is our score. Harpersville leading the Wolverines. 4 minutes 55 seconds showing on the clock, period number 3. Well, last night you saw me out of character, Anthony. I ended up having to put long pants on, but back in shorts today, and the weather almost agrees with that. Snap goes back to Peyton Miller. Miller will turn around and immediately hand it off in there to Alex Volpe coming on through. Volpe, the junior, will not get any running room whatsoever. And a man is going to be down and shaken up. It is one of the Harpersville Hornets. So we will have a momentary pause in the action to allow the various coaches and referees to go over and administer to the downed player. I had good news. I had made mention of the fact earlier that last night I think we had a listener, I want to say from Littleton, Colorado or something, and I had said our thoughts were with friends who are in the foothills out there, and I happened to get an email actually at the game while you were running out here during halftime, and it said that everybody's all right, that that particular section of town is up and rather dry. They can even get off to shopping in Longmont, Colorado, but that the whole condition in the general area is not so good. So as a result, I'm very glad that our friends are safe and sound out in Colorado, but at the same time, my thoughts are with those who are having a bit of bad fortune. Let's see, who is that? Silas Weckel, I believe. I think that's number 66.
Mm-hmm.
He is being escorted to the near sidelines by Coach Kimmel. And now he turns around, and it is indeed number 66. He's okay. He was walking under his own power. He's got whacked a little bit hard. Ball going to be to complete, I believe, to Sutton, but then he is going to be hit, and the ball will pop loose. It is up to the official whether they say completed and out or whether they say incomplete forward pass, and I do believe they will say incomplete forward pass.
Yeah, that was a big hit on...
That was a hard hit.
Yeah, big hit to force that ball out and make it an incompletion.
Yeah, whoever came up managed to get their arms around Sutton and just drive him out of bounds, also drive the ball out of his grasp. The ball is going to be over top of the center of the line, going again in there for Sutton, but again, it is going to be incomplete. Sutton, a senior, 6'2", 190-pounder. You and I were talking off the air, and we mentioned a little bit on the air. I am surprised by the rather diminutive sizes of so many of these players. Even if they are tall, they aren't heavy. So when you go across the Waverly line, there's only one man 200 pounds in that starting lineup. Little floating pass goes in there to Sutton, and Sutton will be hit down at about the 25-yard line. So it is going to, let's see, not be enough for the first down, and with that I do believe that Harpersville will take over on downs, and the ball will be spotted down at the 25, right on the chalk mark. 4:09 remaining, third quarter of this ball game. Well, Anthony, as I motored down the highway today, I could not help but notice a little bit of yellow in those normally green leaves. I think that the nip in the air is beginning to cause a little bit of damage. Stephen Lee going to carry the ball. Not very far forward for Harpersville. He will be met at the line of scrimmage second, and we'll call it 10. 3:47 remaining, period number three of this 28-8 contest. Harpersville leading the Wolverines from Waverly. All of the scoring in this ball game came in the first half, just cruising forward in the second half. Ball going to be kept on the ground as Stephen Lee tries to run to his right and turn the corner. He ran to his right all right, but was not able to turn the corner. Gain on that play of perhaps a yard, and not even a long yard at that. So it will be a third, and we will call it 9.
Harpersville keeping that clock moving by keeping the ball on the ground.
Michael McMillan splits way out to the near side. Everybody else is tied up. Going into motion will be Stephen Lee. The pitch will come to him, and then Stephen Lee tries to hurdle over top of one defender and is finally going to be crunched in there by number 61. That is Brandon Ellers. Ellers, a senior, 6'1", 175 pounds. Lee's all right. He's taking his time getting up, now talking to the official. And we have one of the other players being administered to out on the field. As you see so frequently, exhausted players will end up getting cramps. And so one of the Harpersville Hornets is being attended to on the field right now. Coming up next week, Friday night, it will be our third Sydney broadcast in 3 weeks, and the first league game for the Sydney Warriors. They went up against Shenango Valley in the opening week of the season, went up against arch rival Unitigo last night. So they have a 1-1 record, but they go against the Oxford Blackhawks over at Blackhawk Stadium next Friday night, and we will have that league opener for you on WCDO. We hope that you'll join us for that one. Also, a Saturday afternoon game. That will be coming up next week, too. And we'll tell you more about that a little bit later on. They're still attending to the player on the field. 2 minutes and 33 seconds. The clock obviously stopped while the coaches are administering to the player. And that's one of those stretching the muscles things where they simply have the player on his back and stretching that leg and just trying to get the cramps worked out. And tiring muscles will have that happen a great deal. It's taken a lot longer than I expected them to be honest about it.
Yeah. So, hopefully he's all right.
We do not have the old high school band or the pep things that go on in some games here. So as a result, all eyes around the field are pretty much centered on teams and huddles at the moment. We do happen to have the old railroad bed that goes by across the way. So you see a number of people in their cars up on the old elevation. I don't know what you'd call that, a berm, whatever. In any event, it gives them a good view of the field. We do have a rather loyal Waverly contingent over across the way on the outside of the fence. I've never been able to figure out exactly why so many people prefer to stand along the fence when there are bleachers there, although I will tell you, if you are sitting in the bleachers, it can get very cold. Devin Dean, the man who is now up, and they've got the cramps out of his leg. He's walking off under his own power, greeted by one of the water boys with a squeeze bottle of refreshment. Somebody else going to be in there for a moment. Long count. The ball will be kicked away. Kicking it away is going to be number 71, Tyler Gates. Ball hits on, let's see, it'll be put into play at about the 40, I'll call it the 44. Now they're going to change the position as we have too many referees out there, and they'll put it down at about the 41, possibly the 42. I don't want to say it's like Keystone Cops, but it was one of those things where officials couldn't agree where it was. 2:20 showing on the clock. It's going to be Waverly ball. So back in there. Again, Peyton Miller taking his time. And finally, he just simply says, this is crazy. We're going to end up having a pause in the action. This one called by Harpersville, actually, and I did not expect to see it right there. So Harpersville taking the timeout. Harpersville leads in this contest 28-8. This is one of those situations where it's probably really just intended to give Devin Dean, the quarterback, another minute or two to sort of let everything get rested, get the kinks out, do all of that before he has to go back in there to play again. So if we look at our local teams, when they finally come out, we're going to see Division 5 football. All of the teams are Class D teams, so they're all in the comparable size. But we have two divisions that we're going to be following here in the Tri-Town area this year. In Division 5, it will be Bainbridge-Guilford, Beaufort-Hancock, Delhi, Unadilla Valley, Unitego, and Walton. And in Division 6, it'll be Candor, Harpersville, Oxford, Seton Catholic Central, Sydney, and Tioga. And we're finally ready to go again. And it will be Peyton Miller is going to take the snap and put it up in the air. And he will go to Dylan Perry. Perry, the 6'4 senior over across the way, manages to get it complete. And it's going to be good for the first down. I said 6'4". Let me check that. He's 6 feet tall. He's 140 pounds, so he is tall and spindly, but not quite as tall as I was making him out to be. First and 10, Waverly. 2 minutes even, showing on the clock, period number three. Off to the near side, Zach Gingrich. The snap comes in, and it is going to be Miller looking for an open man. He will go in there this time to Tim Sutton. Sutton will get down and get the first down as he cuts inside the 30-yard line. He will get down to about the 27-yard line, and the officials will put the ball on the field at that position.
Waverly suddenly moving down the field, two big first downs.
Snap is going to be back to Miller. Miller goes on and makes a complete forward pass to Zach Gingrich, but Gingrich put his knee down, then tried to get up and go, but the officials were right there and said, nope, you already touched down, that's it. Gain on that play of about five. So, long count. And again, Miller is going to go off on the near side. Let's see, I believe that was Gingrich again. Yep, it was. So they wanted to go to Gingrich, but Gingrich couldn't get this one. This one was not on the money, and he reached out but was not able to draw it in with that one hand. Third and five. We have Peyton Miller. In the backfield with him is Braden Rice, Alex Volpe, and a host of other players. You see Zach Saxon there most of the time. Third and now about five again from the shotgun, but this time they will go in the opposite direction. It's going to be Dylan Perry who will manage to get a hold of it, and it is going to be complete to him.
And that ball came out, Harry. It seems.
Yeah,
like.
I know it came out, but I'm waiting to see who got the possession, and then on top of that, waiting to see what they decide to call it.
Looks like Waverly was able to dive back on it.
Yep. So Waverly recovers it, but a fourth down at about a yard. Peyton Miller drops it all by himself this time. Now he very quickly gets up, picks up the ball, and before he gets crunched on the far sidelines, gets a little floater pass off. It is going to be complete and good for the first down. So Peyton Miller working very hard that time to stay alert, and it pays off. He gets the first down, 40 seconds remaining until the third quarter break. Ball in the air, and it's going to be in and out of the hands of Zach Gingrich. Gingrich that time had it go off his open palms, so he couldn't even say it went off my shoulder pad. He just simply had lots of pressure coming in from Harpersville, and as a result, he ended up making his turn before he had possession of the football.
Peyton Miller showing a lot of heart on this drive, doing whatever he can to get those throws in the air.
Dylan Perry splitting way out to the right. Now he's back and ready to go. He is going to be the intended target. The ball will be incomplete forward pass. Perry went up for it. He still had to come down in the end zone, and there was a question on whether he could do that, but he couldn't hand on to the football, so it was all for naught. Third down situation coming up. The ball inside the 10-yard line at about the 9. The farther away you get toward the end zone, you have to be aware of what's going on. It is going to be passed again, this time again, intended for Dylan Perry. And again, it is going to be an incomplete forward pass. So 27.1 seconds remaining here in period number three. Still a 28-8 score. That has been the score throughout the whole third quarter. the Wolverines knocking at the door. They trail in the ball game by 3 touchdowns. They're knocking at the door here with 27 seconds remaining in period number 3. Split out to the near side is McFarland. The snap. Rolling is Miller, and with that, he goes out intending to throw it to Dylan Perry, but Perry cannot hang on to the football, and as a result, the Hornets will take over on downs. Good Harpersville pressure meant that the Wolverines were not able to convert that drive into a touchdown. Our score stays 28-20. The Hornets on top, leading Waverly, 28-20. Snow going into motion, and the ball will be kept on the ground. It is going to be carried by Devin Dean. Dean manages to battle his way out very close to first down territory. Now there's the signal. They say the gain is 10 yards. So they move the chains, 7, 6, 5, and with that, the Harpersville Hornets come to the near sidelines. We'll be back with more football coming up the fourth and final quarter. 28-8 is our score. Harpersville leading the Waverly Wolverines here in a non-league contest today. You're listening to WCDO Sports.
With cooler weather on the way, now's the time to think about getting your furnace and air ducts cleaned for this year's heating season. Kirk Gardner of Superior Heating and Air Duct Cleaning of Sydney can install, service, and repair furnaces, hot water heaters, and boilers. Kirk also offers air duct cleaning, plumbing, electrical work, and carpentry. From decks, porches, and siding installation to minor home repairs and even complete remodeling of your home or business. Professional quality work at reasonable prices. Call 349-0833. That's 349-0831 for Superior Heating and Air Duct Cleaning of Sydney.
You already know Chambers and O'Hara, Route 7, Riverside, and Sydney for quality vehicles at great prices, but did you know the Chambers and O'Hara service team is second to none? From vehicle repairs to routine maintenance, service manager Doug Wheeler and the Chambers and O'Hara service team are always knowledgeable and professional. Oil changes, brake jobs, tires, inspections, and so much more. Chambers and O'Hara, Route 7, Riverside, Sydney. Call for all of your vehicle service needs, 563-4311.
The Tri-County Heartbeat is FM 101 and AM 1490 WCDO.
So it is going to be period number 4, starting just momentarily. John Andrews will split to the near side, and it's going to be Dylan Smith way over on the far side. The ball going to be kept on the ground as Devin Dean is going to carry it. No appreciable gain on that play. Good for a yard, maybe 2.
We're still looking for some points in the second half. A fairly uneventful quarter for both teams.
The one thing that is going to continue is just the clock is going to continue to run. That is the one thing that keeping the ball on the ground is going to keep this thing doing. Devin Dean, the quarterback, along with Cody Snow, Andrew Kimmel, and Stephen Lee in the backfield. Devin Dean sends a man in motion, so Lee will get it, and Lee is going to be grabbed and just flung around and thrown down hard. Ryan McFarland was the man who managed to come in and get a hold of his jersey, and he just grabbed that jersey and just whipped diminutive Stephen Lee around, and Lee went for a ride. Loss on the play, possibly of a yard. It'll bring up third, and we'll call it 9. 1 minute already gone by in the fourth and final quarter. Well, warm enough today so that the coaches who have an interest in the ball game can wear their shorts and their short sleeves. Everybody else has the sweatshirt or the light jacket on. Ball going to be kept by Dean, and he will be hit and dropped down. No gain on the play. In fact, if anything, the loss of another yard. It'll bring up a fourth, and we'll call it 11, a kicking situation. Let's see. We got Tyler Gates getting ready to kick that ball. Now they're ready to go, and the long count, very long count. Finally, the snap comes back. Gates is going to be able to pick it up. It was right at his shoe tops, but it takes a big Harpersville Hornet bounce as it hits down at about the 45-yard line and continues to roll. He'll finally grab that ball down. It we'll call it the 35. Actually, it's the length of the football or so high of the 35. 9:44. We still have a 28-8 score. All scoring came in the first half. Harpersville leads it over Waverly. The Wolverines, it is going to be a pass. So going to the air will be Miller. Miller has the intended receiver out there of McFarland, but McFarland cannot hang on to the football. Second down, still 10. So we saw a very interesting first half. Things have settled into pretty much work in the trenches here in the second half of the ball game. It's interesting how you can have so much of note in one quarter or one half and then not too much after that. On the air attack, it will be Miller going on the in the air. Over on the far side, that is going to be Dylan Perry, the senior who receives it. Good for about a 5-yard gain. Third and 5. Ball just high of the 40 at about the 41. 9:10, the clock running. Everybody seemingly taking their time. Now it is going to be a whip shot in the air. It is going to be complete in there to Sutton. They grab Sutton and whip him around, drop him down, but not until he manages to get the first down. So the Waverly drive continues. It goes across midfield and will be down to the 45-yard line. Dropping back as Miller looks off to his left and finally goes to his right. He has a receiver in Dylan Perry over there. Perry will snare that football. It will be good for about a 4 or 5 yard gain down close to the 41-yard line. So Peyton Miller, the sophomore quarterback, 5'9", 155 pounds, manages to get things going and keep things going here in the fourth quarter. Now on the ground, he will go to Braden Rice. Rice, the senior, tries the left side, picks up two and a half yards as he is across the 40 down to the 38-yard line before he's finally tripped up. The second Harpersville Hornet coming in to get him, he managed to shake loose of the first man. 8:19, the clock still going here in period number four. The ball is in the air intended for Alex Volpe, and Volpe can't hang on to the football either. Volpe, a junior, 6 feet tall. And the thing that we have noticed time and again, Anthony, is that so many of these people are trying to catch purely with their hands. That time, Volpe went up and had that ball strictly in the hands. And it just isn't working.
I wasn't able to cradle that one. There's been a fair amount of drops today for Waverly.
All the way down the line, dropping back is going to be Miller again. This time he tries a really long pass, and this one is caught in the breadbasket, and it is going to be a touchdown. Dylan Perry managed to get that ball and stay inbound. He went the last 5 yards on the ground and manages to put it in. So Dylan Perry gets the touchdown, and our score goes 28-14. And Well, they indicated the touchdown over on the far side before. They have not changed the scoreboard, so we will see if this is coming for point after or if they're going to try for, let's see, where are we going? It is going to be batted down, they say, incomplete. So our score will say 28-14. So we have ourselves the first score of the second half. It comes here in the fourth period. 8:02 remaining on the clock. 28-14 is our score. You're listening to football on your station for sports, WCDO.
Waste Recovery Enterprises in Sydney is the area's most trusted source for all your disposal needs. We offer weekly residential trash pickup in the Tri-County area, as well as commercial or residential dumpster service and roll-off boxes for construction debris or household cleanout. Our transfer station on Valley View Road accepts trash, appliances, furniture, construction, and demolition debris. The area's most trusted and diversified source for all your disposal needs. Waste Recovery Enterprises, Valley View Road in Sydney, just off Route 7. Call 563-2616 or go to wasterecovery.com.
Your local sports leader for over 20 years. FM 101 and AM 1490 WCDO.
And we are all set to kick off here. Everyone's getting on the field to line up. Waverly coming off a nice touchdown pass from Miller. That ball was beautifully thrown up in the air for about a few seconds. Was able to get down there and caught by Dylan Perry. A touchdown in the right corner of the end zone.
So it is going to be Zach Saxton who manages to tee up the football and who is ready to go. He raises his hand, he approaches the football, and unlike most people's expectations, he goes with a high booming kick that goes way downfield. The players on the far sidelines are saying that it was a loose ball recovered by Waverly. Now the officials agree. That ball went down and bounced at about the 20-yard line and bounced back upfield. It touched a couple of Harpersville players, and as a result, the Waverly Wolverines are going to be able to fall on the ball and recover. So now 28-14 is our score. And another scoring opportunity, or at least another possession, for the Wolverines. Well, Peyton Miller coming back is going to split Zach Gingrich way out to the near side again. He puts Volpe in motion, and the ball is going to be carried by Volpe, but in negative territory. So he is pushed back across his 30. Going to be a loss of a couple of yards on the play.
All of a sudden, Waverly looking on a pretty good opportunity here to get right back in this ball game.
Peyton Miller has it ready to go. This time it will be Gingrich off to the near side. He is being guarded by Devin Dean. And with that, Peyton Miller has the opportunity to throw. He had a man way down there. In fact, it was the aforementioned Dylan Perry going down toward the end zone, and somebody managed to get a hand on Peyton Miller, deflected his pass severely, incomplete forward pass, and Dylan Perry returns back to the huddle. 7:22, the clock has stopped. Peyton Miller, the sophomore quarterback, brings the play in from the sidelines. He will split Gingrich to the near side and Perry to the far side. They're going to put Saxon in motion, and the pass will be into the one of the coaches on the far sideline. Good catch over there by a gentleman wearing a camera.
Miller getting whacked in the last two attempts to throw. That everyone knows that if they want to get in the end zone, odds are they're going to the air. So Harpersville doing whatever they can to put Miller on his back.
Peyton Miller bringing the play in from the sideline from Coach Jason Miller. It just dawned on me. I wonder if they're related. I don't know if they are. Peyton Miller picking up the ball, now gets running room. He will pick up a couple of yards as he gets back to the line of scrimmage and gets down to about the 25. Let's see where they will post that football. So it is going to be Harpersville taking over on downs as Peyton Miller unable to get the needed yardage on that fourth down and scrambling situation. 7-11 up on the clock. Coming off to the near side, it is going to be McMillan, and the play will be kept on the ground. Almost without looking, you just know that that carry was going to be by Andrew Kimmel. Anytime that you see one that's right up the center like that for a short gain, it is probably Andrew Kimmel. Anytime it goes to Stephen Lee, you can always see it coming to the near side.
Yeah, the strategy's been clear for the strategy's been clear from the start for Harpersville, and it's boded well for them so far with 6 minutes and 45 seconds left in this one.
John Andrews split out. Two men split to the near side this time. Devin Dean, little pop pass, goes out intended for Stephen Lee, but flags had already flown. Lee reached up and caught the football. Didn't even bother to run, and nobody was pursuing him. So they'll march off five against the Harpersville Hornets. That'll bring up a second and the better part of 14. 6:28 showing on the clock. This is, for all intents and purposes, a 2-1 ball game. 28-14 is our score. Devin Dean and Dylan Smith jointly bringing in the play from the sidelines. Little pop pass goes out on the far side. I do believe that is going to be Stephen Lee. We do have flags flying. So Stephen Lee getting that reception. And a conference of officials going on at the hash mark. And they're going to say it's holding this time against Harpersville. So a cloudy and overcast Saturday afternoon. It's one of those that, this is football weather, folks. A little bit of chill in the air. We do not have the brilliant leaves that you'll have coming up a week or two from now, but we do have the sort of yucky weather. Now they march the football back. Now it's going to be inside the 20, down close to the 15. We'll call it a second and still 20. Might quibble over near 10 yards or so. So Devin Dean now approaches the line himself. He calls for the snap. He'll hand it off immediately in there to Stephen Lee. Lee is going to be wrestled around by a couple of red jerseys before he is finally dropped down. He will pick up about five on that play. His total journey covered more yardage than that, but part of it was being pushed back after he had already gotten his forward progress.
Yeah, Lee's feet came out from under him there. That was a lot of Waverly defenders pushing him back, and he showed a lot of toughness there.
That's what you get at 5'7", 155 pounds. Yeah, 4'5", 6". Showing up on the clock. That's the amount of time remaining in this contest. The clock continues to run. John Andrews now walks to the near side, and with that, the Harpersville Hornets will call timeout. So we've got a pause in the action. 28-14 is our score. Harpersville, the home team today, leading visiting Waverly by the score of 28-14. You're listening to sports on a Saturday afternoon on WCDO.
Echo Brands of Sydney is proud to be part of WCDO's high school sports coverage. As a major employer in the Tri-County area, Echo Brands supports young people in our communities and hopes that these young athletes have much success this sports season. Always work hard and always display good sportsmanship. Echo Brands of Sydney, an industry leader in the manufacture of planning products and calendars. Echo Brands cheers on student athletes in every sport.
Your New York State Excellence in Broadcasting award-winning station, FM 101 at AM 1490, WCDO.
You know, it's very interesting, Anthony. We were just talking about the efforts and the fine efforts of Stephen Lake. And we come down here and we broadcast games season after season. Stephen Lee, carrying the football right now, comes very much to the near side. He doesn't get long yardage. He will probably get up close to the 24 or 25. We'll see where they spot it. It's going to be a fourth down and a kicking situation for the Hornets. But I make mention of Stephen Lee because he just did a fine job carrying the football there. And in prepping for the game, I was going down through, and I look at a whole lot of different things, and I have to get my paperwork all taken care of, and I came across an interesting spot, because Stephen Lee, who is now a senior, in the Delhi at Harpersville game 2 years ago, on September 24, 2011, ended up being named as our all-purpose player of the game on that particular date. So he was impressive as a sophomore, and he's not the only one who's been impressive as a sophomore, but he's still doing it, and he's still doing it with the same flair that he was doing it back then. Ball going to be kicked away. Gates puts a big foot on it. This time it will be cleanly received at about the 50-yard line. John Mastruono, or however you chose to say it earlier, he will take the ball to the bench across the way, running out of bounds rather than get crunched by a million players. If I were a sophomore who was 5'9 and 160 pounds, I probably would also go to the sidelines. One thing that we didn't talk about coming down last night, if you remember, in that game last night on the safety, you know, the quarterback last night could have just taken that ball back into the end zone, but instead he chose to run to the sidelines. I still think that was more, well, it was maybe a double-sided, maybe the two-purpose thing. One, to chew up a little bit more of the clock.
Mm-hmm.
But the other was that the skies might have opened and you saw that big hole and the great brightness and you could have run for the 98-yard touchdown. I was wondering if that was still in the back of everybody's mind. You know, from the coach's point of view, it was just simply to maintain that four-point lead.
Mm.
4:27 is our time on the clock right now left in this ball game. Ball is going to be snapped back. It goes in there to Miller. Miller on the pass will go out to McFarland. McFarland is right there to catch the ball. So McFarland, the 6'4 senior, gathers it in, complete forward pass. There will be a flag on the play. The ball had not been advanced enough to make it a first down. So it will take the penalty yardage, and it is going to be against Harpersville. So the ball will be marched off against the Hornets. That will move the ball way down inside the 25. That right there will be enough for the first down. 4:20 showing on the clock. Harpersville leading at 28-14, so still a two-touchdown difference. Now we're finally ready to go. Miller right beside Braden Rice in the backfield. Miller will keep it himself this time and get down inside the 10. as he manages to find a hole. He squirts through that hole. He puts his head down and manages to get down to just about the 10-yard line while the men are moving the chains, and they do not bother to drop the lower chain. So it's probably the length or two of the football high of the 10. So first and 10 from about the 11. Little pass on the flat down to McFarland. Gets it down inside the 10. Short gain. We'll call it about a yard. The clock continuing to work against the Wolverines. 3:35 showing in this ballgame. Remember, it was 28-8 at the half. Now it's up to 28-14. Perry split on one side, McFarland to the other side. And waiting with an opening and going down into the end zone, intended for Dylan Perry, the strong arm of Peyton Miller overthrows the intended receiver. But it does serve to stop the clock. So it will be third down and about 9. They can get the first down without getting the touchdown.
And Perry went completely airborne for that ball. That he was parallel with the ground on a diving attempt to try and reel that one in.
The difficulty was trying to land, if you caught the football, still land inside the end zone. That was a well-thrown but powerfully thrown football by Miller. Peyton Miller scrambling, once again looking for Perry in the end zone. This time Perry had dropped down to his knees and he turned around, but he could not grab that football. 3:24, a fourth down situation, still fourth and about 9. So week number 2, we saw two absolutely terrific games in week number 1 in games at Sydney and Delhi. Last night's was a real great game up at Unitego. And the home team leads in this ball game. Peyton Miller, another snap, and this time it is going to be just batted away by Devin Dean. Dean and Dylan Perry going step for step, and Dean had nothing to gain by trying to intercept that ball in the end zone. There is a flag on the field. So the meeting of the referees and the conversation continues. And now they come out. Well, still aren't ready to signal yet. The officials have picked up the flag. And let's see, where are we going? Come on, just darn give the signal. And now the official comes in and gives the signal, calling it against Harpersville and offsetting penalties. So as a result, it will be first down for the Harpersville Hornets, taking over on down.
That was a confusing sequence of events.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, the penalty's offset, and Harpersville is able to take over.
So here we go again. They will move the ball to the 10-yard line, which is right where it was. And we will go into the final 3 minutes and 18 seconds of this ball game. The officials making note of all of the plays and the penalties in this game. It's going to give an opportunity for each of the coaches to extremely briefly set a plan for the final moments of this contest. Well, when we get done today, it is going to be motor back up the highway. Look at the rest of the cloudy weather. So as a result, I think that's a good excuse not to start a project this afternoon. Sometimes you have projects that you have to do. So here we go. Devin Dean passing it on the flat very quickly. Stephen Lee over there just spreads his hands apart and says, I wonder why. I can't catch that one, and only 3 seconds managed to click off the clock. 3:15. Now it's a second and 10 situation.
And, of course, the clock stopping with Harpersville electing to pass and that ball hitting the grass.
So we find the Hornets taking their time. Now John Andrews leads the pack. Andrews splits way out to the left. Dylan Smith to the near side. The play will be going in there to Andrew Kimmel, and Kimmel powers his way up across the 15. So a gain on that play of about 5. And the clock continues to run inside the 3-minute mark now. They're milking the time in the huddles as well.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
McMillan splitting to the near side. And the ball will be kept on the ground. As we'll see, will they manage to get the first down? Kimmel carries again. It's out toward the 20. And now they say first down. So as a result, it will be a first down for the Harpersville Hornets.
And guess who? Kimmel.
Yeah.
Gonna run up the middle. Add that to his total.
2:16 remaining. Devin Dean back in the driver's seat. He will go again to Kimmel. Kimmel picking up another 5 or 6. Not enough for the first down. He will get down to about the, he'll call it the 28-yard line. It's going to be about 7 of what he needed. Well, I want to make sure that we give a big thank you to Joe Gardner back at the studio, who makes all of the commercials work, get played in the right order, and also maintains our WCDO website. Of course, all the sales staff and the writers and producers at WCDO, they all chip in to make these broadcasts possible, and we appreciate it. Ball going to be kept on the ground. Andrew Kimmel plowing his way right up the middle. He will have enough for the first down. That keeps the drive alive. 1:24, and the clock keeps running. Now we see people begin to head toward the exits, as we see people across the way taking their folding chairs and moving back to the car. Not that there's a huge crowd. You certainly aren't going to have a traffic problem today. Final minute of the ball game. The ball will be broken away by Kimmel. Kimmel getting close to the first down. He is back up across the 40. Let's see. They're going to put it down to 41. Call it a gain of 9. Now the clock goes into rapid mode. So time for one play, and that should be about it. 30 seconds and counting. Devin Dean and company down behind the football. Dean will take a knee and go down from there, and that should just about do it. So the Harpersville Hornets have scored a 28-14 victory over the visiting Waverly Wolverines. Both teams go to their respective benches as the clock runs down, and this ball game is finally over. So it is complete. It is in the record books, as they say. We'll be back with a final wrap-up and the presentation of our daily awards. We make them for you with pride. You're listening to Sports on a Saturday Afternoon on your station for high school sports in the Tri-Town area, WCDO.
When it comes to your future, there are things that count. And at NBT Bank, what counts most to you counts to us. That's why we offer iStrive, banking for youth and young adults. iStrive's free savings, checking, and debit products help you grow your money skills from grade school to college to your first big job. So whatever future you dream of, you can count on us to help you achieve it. Stop by or visit nbtbank.com and open an account today. NBT Bank, for everything that counts. Member FDIC.
Echo Brands of Sydney is proud to be part of WCDO's high school sports coverage. As a major employer in the Tri-County area, Echo Brands supports young people in our communities and hopes that these young athletes have much success this sports season. Always work hard and always display good sportsmanship. Echo Brands of Sydney, an industry leader in the manufacture of planning products and calendars. Echo Brands cheers on student athletes in every sport.
When shopping for a new mattress or home furnishings and decor, look no further than the area's value leader, the Catalog Outlet Stores of Unadilla, Oneonta, North Norwich, and Margaretville, where you will find their large selection and everyday low prices are the best around. At the Catalog Outlet, you will find quality brand name home furnishings for every room. Save on sofas starting at just $299 and recliners from only $199 every day. Save on bedrooms, living rooms, dining rooms, TV consoles, bunk beds, and much more. For a good night's sleep, treat yourself to a new mattress from the Catalog Outlet's in-store sleep centers, where mattresses by Spring Air, Eclipse, Therapeutic, and American Bedding are featured in every size and comfort level. Nobody sells mattresses for less. The Catalog Outlet stores are open 7 days a week in Unadilla at the corner of Martinbrook and Railroad Streets, in Oneonta's West End at 357 Chestnut Street on State Highway 12 North Norwich, and in Margaretville at 743 Main Street, or visit online at CatalogOutletOnline.com. Low prices, best selection, and service with a smile. Only at the Catalog Outlet, now celebrating 24 years of offering you the best for last.
Live high school sports on WCDO and worldwide, streaming live at WCDOsports.com.
Well, the Harpersville Hornets managed to put 28 points on the scoreboard in the first half of this ball game. Last week, they managed to shut out Delhi by a score of 18-0. So it is good news for the coaches and the players for the Harpersville Hornets. Now week number two and win number two, they're all in the book. We won't go through the scoring details. We'll just simply tell you the final score was 28-14, and the Harpersville Hornets ended up defeating a much larger school in a higher division, the Waverly Wolverines. Our post-game show is brought to you by NBT Bank, serving the community for over 150 years and putting our customers first every single day. NBT Bank, member FDIC. So, Mr. Anthony, your thoughts on the offensive player of the game?
I went with Stephen Lee as the offensive player of the game. He had two rushing touchdowns in the game, and he was Lightning member of the Thunder and Lightning duo in the backfield. And of course, one of his touchdowns where he jumped completely over the offensive and defensive line to get in the end zone. Stephen Lee's elusiveness makes him the offensive player of today's game.
I'm going to have to do a little bit of research and find out what the symbol is, the symbolism is of the, I'm certain they're calling it a hammer, but to me, I'm an old farm boy, so it's a post mall. It's a big hammer. And in the final game cheer that the Harpersville Hornets did, the painted yellow hammer was very evident. I just don't know the backstory. The post-game show is also being sponsored by the Catalog Outlet Store, your store for over 1,000 items, with a good deal, for a good deal, and a good deal more. Shop the Catalog Outlet in Unadilla, Oneonta, North Norwich, or now their new store in Margaretville, New York. Dynamic defensive winner.
To me, the dynamic defensive winner, I went with Tyler Gates as the senior linebacker for Harpersville. It was tough to pinpoint a defensive player in this game because Harpersville dominated the time of possession for such a long time in the first half. But then in the second half, Peyton Miller had a lot of passes that were really broken up due to the linebackers doing good coverage down the field, and I felt that Tyler Gates had a good role in that as well. And for me, he is the defensive player of today's game.
Finally, the All-Purpose Award is being awarded by ACCO Brands of Sydney, supporting youth activities in our communities, and happy to be part of high school sports on WCDO. ACCO Brands, proud to be a local employer.
The All-Purpose Award will go to Andrew Kimmel, who dominated this game on the ground as a running back with 9 first downs and a touchdown. He obliterated the defensive line for the Wolverines in this game, and it was totally on him as well at the linebacker position for a real anchor in the defense on the other side of the ball. This one was really hammered down by Kimmel, so he is today's all-purpose player of the game.
Again, the final score, 28-14. And coming up, our next broadcast will be on Friday night. It will be Sydney at Oxford. I'm Harry Graves.
And I'm Anthony Veers.
And we're going to be there next week at Blackhawk Stadium. We hope that you'll be in the stands, because the very best place to see any game is always in the stands. In the meantime, stay tuned for more continuous favorites on FM 101 and AM 1490 WCDO. Thank you ever so much for lending us your ears. From Harpersville High School, one more time, good afternoon, everybody.